This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
The Google search of how long, I'm paraphrasing, until someone dies in the snow. Why would you be searching for that if you didn't know there was someone laying in the snow in your front yard? And I could see it being not necessarily how long till they die, because I can't wait for them to die, but more so like, he's been out there for a long time. Like, he hasn't come back to the door. Like, what's going on? And if you're all drunk and people just pass out and kind of go do their own thing, or he wandered out there after drunk, I'm going to go cool off, because there was the cocktail broken glass out there too. So I don't know. I mean, I grew up in the North too. And, you know, there's plenty of times when I was younger, you go outside, you hang out for a little bit. I think I've like hung out in a snowbank for a little while. You know, just like chilling for, and you know, had I passed out, probably be dead. But I think a lot of people could have kind of been in that situation. But it's all coming down to nobody seeming wanted to take any sort of accountability on any of this. And if they're going to introduce this alternative suspect theory into it, could there then be consequences for that alternative suspect? Could charges be brought up during the actual trial if law enforcement or somebody looks at it and says, we should probably do something here? Or if that were to be the case, would they be waiting till this thing is done before actually charging someone else?
No, they'd 100% wait until, like, there's no way they could bring charges, like, in the middle of the trial. Mm-hmm. They'll wait. If she's acquitted, then the question becomes, all right, well, because, like,
or is everybody involved?
Right. I mean, the problem is that they didn't do the investigation. Mm-hmm. They never went into that house. Like, yeah. Had they gone into the house, and I'm talking about law enforcement, you know, I always tell Allie with respect to this case, I'm like, imagine you live in a world where they find a dead body in your front yard, and it's not like somebody who's just wandering the neighborhood and happens to collapse and die in your front yard. It's somebody that there's evidence that was supposed to be coming to your home, has now mysteriously died on your front yard. And then law enforcement doesn't get a warrant to come in and see maybe if something went down in the house.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that didn't happen, I think, is what put a lot of people's minds in the sense like, well, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Because if that was my house, they'd sure the hell be coming in and searching, not saying that anything nefarious had gone on, but they'd certainly be taking a look. And I think the fact that that didn't happen may preclude them from moving on a case. I mean, prosecutors are not in the business of bringing cases to trial that they're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, and if they've taken a beating on Karen Reed, are they going to be willing to move forward? Now, the other option is that we know that the feds have done an investigation of their own into the lack of investigation done by law enforcement. Like, maybe there's enough there for the feds to move on it if the state won't move on it. So that's always an option as well.
Well, another thing that's really interesting about that is if this officer had died at another house in front of somebody else's house that wasn't filled with other law enforcement officers, that would be swarming with police. I mean, because you just see it. They get in, the investigations get a little more deep when it's one of their own that is dead. It doesn't go opposite. It doesn't go backwards. We're not going to look into this at all. Why? Right. Like, there were so many clear things they could have done. It wasn't like, oh, we didn't even think of doing that. It's like Ring doorbell cameras. They're everywhere. Not even going to look at that. Those are the things that just don't make any sense in this case. And that's still not to say that Karen Reed couldn't have accidentally backed up into him and killed him. But the lack of the investigation is, I don't know if the thought was, well, we're going to protect her too, or what the thought was. And it all just ends up crumbling in front of them because so much does not make sense about any of it.
100%, man. And that's exactly what I'm saying, man. Like, had that investigation taken place, our minds aren't going to the dark places like, is this a cover up?
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a bunch of cops in there and this is their buddies saying, you know what? Look, Karen dropped them off. You know, we'll just say that she bumped them. And like, you know, and it's like, when they up the charges to, you know, out of like a manslaughter type charge into a homicide charge, like, I think that they overcharged her.
Yeah.
You know, like they would have kept it in a, like kind of in the world of like manslaughter where there's not really intent, then like maybe we're not looking at the same thing. But when they came back and they had upped the charges and that's the second time that she's arrested, it changed things. And then when the defense gets their theory of the case out there to the public, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is unusual because typically we're not hearing this coming up, you know, and heading into trial. Like, this usually comes out at trial and they're dropping bombshells, you know, like, oh my God, you know, it's like they took a calculated risk because they're giving not only the public the heads up of what's to come, but more importantly, they're giving the state the heads up of what's to come, because we as defense attorneys, typically we have no obligation whatsoever to tell the state what our theory of defense is. Obviously we have to give them witness lists. And if there's evidence we're going to present, we have to turn that over. But in terms of what our theory is, we don't have to tell them anything. So like here and in Delphi, it's that unusual circumstance where they're saying, look, go ahead, run with it. This is what our theory is. Good luck with dealing with it, you know? And how it's going to play out has just got me at the edge of my seat, man.
It makes me wonder.
Like, I haven't been this excited about a trial for a while.
It makes me wonder if it's going to play out kind of like the Nikolai Mew did with the Wisconsin thing, where it was like what, first degree intentional homicide, but they convicted on a lesser level of reckless homicide. Right. Where I wonder if we're going to see Karen convict. I don't know what the state is, if they can do that in that state. But if they can do that, maybe we'll end up seeing a conviction there. Or, you know, I don't know, there's enough reasonable doubt where I could see there not being anything and they just...
Yeah, I don't know what the process is in terms of lesser included up there. Like, I don't know if that's like an option for them automatically or if it's something that has to be... Like in Mew, the state wisely added the lesser included like the Tuesday before the thing went to jury, you know, and had they not done that, they might not have gotten that conviction there, because that first degree intentional homicide was a really tough way to get to, especially in light of the evidence.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't know what the case is out there in Massachusetts. By the time I'm covering that trial, I'll know, you know, whether or not that's going to be something that's an option for them. But it's going to be a good one. It's going to be fascinating. And, you know, ultimately, like you said, is a defense attorney, getting your client acquitted is not the same thing as them being exonerated. You know what I mean? Like, just because, like, if they put enough out there with the alternate suspect theory that it creates reasonable doubt, that doesn't have the people that think that Karen Reed did this changing their mind at all.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why I think they're pushing so hard to really try to prove that somebody in this house did this, so that she's truly exonerated. Because as you know, you could be found not guilty, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily innocent. That just means the state didn't meet burden. So.
Well, that's true. But and also the reality is as well, people are already so dug into this. I don't think whatever the verdict is, whatever those people that are so dug in now are still going to think the same thing regardless of what that verdict is.
Agreed.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.